have a number of co-authors, and including some of the modeling team, Jim Jones, Cheryl Porter, Garrett Hogenbaum, and Fernando Villegas was a graduate student with Jim Jones, who actually brought back to life some of the aspects of the Alan Jones model. We'll see that in a second. The DSAT 4.5, including 4, has true crop rotation and sequencing. And because of that, when you start with a given soil location, you need to keep moving with the same soil all the way through, so that the crop must have its own rooting characteristics, and the soil traits must therefore influence either the one or two dimensional rooting that results. The present approach in the DSAT models is a root hospitality function, SRGF, which is a function of rooting depth, and in some respects that makes individual soils crop specific. We're living with this problem right now until that's resolved for the next version. We also want for mulch crops like tomato and pepper with plastic mulch to go to a two-dimensional system, particularly for drip irrigation. And what the goal is to have each cell or layer control its own vertical, horizontal root fronts, the root proliferation, root senescence as a function of both static and dynamic factors, and that the crop owns its own genetic characteristics for rooting. And all these have impacts on nutrient and water uptake. This is a little visual of the way we see this working with a two-dimensional approach, and this is the plant center, the root, but would be basically origin here, moving away from the row to mid-row between. So with that system, you would have boxes. So this is two-dimensional, assuming that three-dimensional is moving down the row, where each cell has its own static and dynamic factors, soil, nitrogen, phosphorus, organic matter, water, temperature, soil strength, aeration, aluminum saturation. And then the plant aspects of the rooting, root length, root mass, the front movement, proliferation, root depth, water uptake, nutrient uptake in each cell. I think we'll be there in another, well, ask Jim, a couple years. Okay, current model approach in crop grow, and the DSAT models for that matter. Partitioning to roots of dry matter or carbon varies with growth stage reduced over time, but eventually we get to reproductive growth where this can go to where reproductive is taking all the assimilate, so the root dry matter growth and root length will go to zero at that point. Partitioning sensitive to nitrogen water stress and the depth increase is a function of thermal time and life cycle. We have a constant centimeters of root length per gram of mass, and this is that hospitality function defined for each different soil, and for that matter it's also crop specific right now. This is a hospitality factor with depth. In actual fact, though, the model does handle root growth in a given zone as a function of soil drying and excess water, and root depth as a function of thermal time and water status. So it still will show a lot of blooms in response to stresses. This shows an observed root length density for Castana, Iowa on soybean, Ida silt loam, measured by, I guess, Taylor's group. And this, if you put a 1 here, you'd be normalized, but this is the function that we needed. It's like shooting a rifle a half a mile away. This is the function you need in the model describing the hospitality function to give you the root length at this point, because the roots don't get to this depth until later. So it says in this LUS soil, hospitality is good all the way down, deep, except for a plow layer right here. This shows the peanut root length density over time for the top layer, subsequent layers, and you can see the arrival into a given layer comes later, and part of that is what gives you less root length density, plus the value out here would be affected by that root hospitality factor. Okay, so concepts of the root growth modeling would be that you need to consider limitations from carbon balance, life cycle, to grow roots as a function of available assimilate supply. You have to stop the depth increments as well when you run out of that carbon supply. Plant internal traits, you should have a model that shifts assimilate to root under nitrogen stress, water stress, phosphorus stress. And then this is where we're going. Genetic factors, this is there now, but rate of root depth progression, vertical and horizontal, a shape of rooting profile, length to mass ratio, and maybe even this changing with depth, sensitivity, aluminum saturation, aeration, saturation of soil, and ability to osmoregulate against soil impedance and drying. Alan Jones had proposed four different static factors. You'll see this a little later in individual traits. Aluminum saturation, calcium saturation, coarse fraction, and frangipan, and he used a whole lot of names for that. And then a series of dynamic soil properties. Soil temperature changes dynamically. Soil strength is a function of bulk density, texture, and particularly soil water. And soil aeration, again, depending on soil water content relative to critical water-filled pore space. Alan did not do this, but nitrogen and phosphorus fertility status does influence root proliferation, and I think it needs to be addressed. This is a visual from Salisbury and Ross, which shows you this. This is phosphorus, where the phosphorus is provided in this middle layer, none here, none here. Tremendous proliferation with presence of phosphorus. Same thing for nitrate. Nitrate in the middle zone, none in the top or the bottom zone. And that means that the presence of the fertility itself influences root proliferation. A great impact if you're looking at drip irrigation and fertigation. This is potassium, no difference. And I think soil organic matter would fall in that same category of somewhat the unknown things that you get from this besides nitrate and phosphate. So our approach was to try to use a two-dimensional approach that would collapse to one-dimensional, layered, starting with the published root growth model of Alan Jones. It has these four static factors and dynamic factors of soil strength, aeration, and soil temperature, where each layer would control its own vertical front, root proliferation, root senescence, and root growth as a function of these static and dynamic factors. Fernando Villegas did this, I guess, as a special problem on a course with Dr. Jones. And basically, Alan Jones had published his code as an appendix. So he rewrote this in Fortran, and he was running the model as a standalone. But what we've done is to take the DSAT model outputs of soil temperature, soil water, and the root growth increment that day, plant vegetative reproductive stage, passed it to that standalone model to see what the behavior was. I'll show you the equations for the sensitivity to aluminum, soil strength, aeration, and show how these stress factors affect the root front increase, proliferation, length weight ratio. And I'll in some cases show where the standard crop grow root length over time and depth compares to this 1D approach, where the root length comes from the crop grow model and the soil water and temperature. This is one of the static factors, aluminum saturation. You see, you would need to know aluminum saturation of the soil and the cation exchange to do this, and a critical aluminum saturation above which you start limiting root growth and the point where there's total limitation. Don't worry about the equations on this for now. Another static factor would be a calcium saturation, where there's no limitation. You'd have to define this, potentially genetics, particularly aluminum, and then a failure point at percent calcium saturation. Okay, the dynamic factors of soil temperature, soil strength, soil aeration, mentioned what was driving those. I'll show this is the Alan Jones temperature function, but it says you need to define the critical base and optimum temperature for root growth, proliferation, and depth increase. he used 8 degrees with an optimum at 25. This would be species characteristic. It'd be the crop, not soil. This would be effect of soil strength on root growth, and everything's deriving from sand. So you have percent sand defining a bulk density, BD0 here, and BDX, a saturation point. So what you would need to know, these would be critical points, but you need to know the bulk density of your observed soil and where this falls on this curve. And if you're less than this, the bulk density O, you're reducing the root growth because of impedance. Now, this is the primary function at good water status. You see this on this. This is that same function, the SBD, and this is that asymptote, so that if soil water availability, fraction available water is less, you reduce the root growth potential, soil impedance. Very sensitive to soil water, and I guess it's correct, but you could argue about the shape on this. And this would be a clay soil, compacted and not compacted. This is water-filled pore space aeration. So if you're at 1, that means that there's no room for air movement. Oxygen supply would go to 0. And as you move away, you would have pore space available, and you're below this critical water-filled pore space. It apparently defines differentially depending on soil type. Here's one with high clay, low clay, and you're defining drained upper limit and the lower limit for that equation. This is where Alan Jones put this all together with a kind of a complicated looking structure. Depth increase was a function of a minimum of his ASF 1 and 2, but notice how he did this. He had this ASF 1 has temperature. Soil temperature is the main one here that's dynamic. This is aluminum, calcium, which are fixed. Most of the time we're not going to know that, or in good soils you don't have aluminum problems. The other function is the square root of the minimum of SST, which is soil strength or aeration. And usually they're not operating the same time, and that's probably why if you're at a point where you have water-filled pore space problems, you don't have a soil strength problem because it's too wet. Then so it's the minimum of those two for root depth progression. Root length depends on both soil strength, or length to mass ratio, soil strength, and then aluminum, calcium, and coarse fraction. This is the root length proliferation, new root length growth, a function of STP, which is temperature and soil strength and aeration, and then the fixed static factors. And root depth, you kill roots if you have aeration problems, this SAI, and this is fraction available water. So we did some simulations with this with the Bragg soybean at Gainesville and played with 4 different soil types, comparing the 1D to crop growth simulations for these characteristics, root length, root mass, root length density versus time, and the length mass ratio. This shows rooting depth, and I suppose I should have flipped the graph, but up is down, with time. The thin black line is the crop growth function, so we just jump out at emergence with about 25 centimeter depth. This one apparently starts off with about 5, so it's different from the start, but this is a silt. This is, didn't do that right. This is a silt. Sand is a little bit worse than the silt. And then this would be the clay, uncompacted, so it's slowing down the growth progression. And that's something actually we should have been doing in the DSET models, and we're not. So this probably would be a good addition. This is compacted clay compared to not compacted. Okay, this is root mass. Now we're feeding the model the rooting mass, so here's crop grow. So it should look pretty well the same, but the 1D had some of its own senescence functions. And we threw away one part of the senescence. He wanted it to go much faster late, and that doesn't fit with the way we see root mass data on our grain legumes. This would be in a compacted clay, so apparently you get less root mass there because you've affected photosynthesis and less dry matter increase from the start. This is root length density, and these two really should be the same, but I'll tell you why they're not. We give at emergence, we already have this 5 to 15, plus the next depth already has some roots, so we're sharing it among the deeper layer, so they really should be the same. This shows the simulated root length density versus depth with four different soils at a point where you're at maximum root length. Okay, so you're just about to start dominant reproductive growth. And this function is the silt soil, the best pattern, clay and sand, and this is compacted clay. And we didn't tell it to do these little wiggles in here, so it might have had something to do with where the water saturation affected things. This is comparing root length. That was all 1D, okay, the 1D configuration. This is a comparison of the 1D for sand, the orange and blue clay, compared to the crop grow with the default soil. Now, the default soils have this exponential decline of root length density. It's just a function that we developed about 10 years ago. And I think that the closeness there is because the two strategies are about alike. Okay, this is the shape function that Alan Jones did. This WCG, don't worry too much about the math, but with depth, but if the value is 1, that means you've got the straightest function. You 2 and 3 means it's a little bit more shallow rooting function. Something like that would be very valuable as a crop characteristic. And then this is a simulation of time series showing a crop at 180 days or early and progressively with time. So a little bit older crop, a little older, this one. And then this is maximum growth, and now it's beginning to senesce a little bit. And senesce, particularly at the top, because those roots are older compared to the ones at the bottom. That's all on a silt loam, which we don't have at Gainesville, but it's with Gainesville weather. This shows the root length per unit mass. And it was sensitive with this equation, but I'll show you that what it means is that the roots are thicker at the top with the way that Alan Jones did this function. And with progressive time, later, 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 they also are somewhat thickening, okay, the way that functions. That looks reasonable to me. This is another location, Castaigna, Iowa, for Wayne soybean with the model inputs. And this is observed root mass. This is what the model was simulating. And that wasn't calibrated, so it's actually reasonably close. This is rooting depth at Castaigna, Iowa, and I'll point out a little problem with this particular data set in just a moment. Here's the crop grow function. Fairly close, but it started too fast and the slope should have been steeper, but this is with the 1D. I'll show you why this is tailing off here in just a moment. It's colder there. Okay, this is that soil temperature factor with progressive depth of the soil, and the soil is getting colder as you go deeper. So it's limiting the rate of root depth progression. Potentially two problems with that. One could be his base temperatures and the optimum. The other could be what we're doing for driving the soil temperature in the DSAT models. This shows the soil strength simulations, and that factor should be 1 with no limitations. Look at how close it goes to 0. Now, this was a drought study, so you would have had some hitting this, but I'm surprised that this soil strength function should hit 0 this often and less at deeper depth. So this is any date during the season. This is the aeration function. In fact, what it says here with the silt loam that you had rainy days that created a tendency toward saturation, and more of it occurred in the top layers and the deeper layers, but this is a pure silt loam, which would have good drainage. This combination of all those factors together, this ASF1, and showing that still the root growth at depth would be restricted. And that would affect both the proliferation and the depth increase. And you'll see this in this function. This shows the time series with early progressively later, and then, but what I want to show you is that this profile is pancaked more shallow because the depth didn't get down in this case. The real crop, we did not put in this pan effect, but the real crop had something dramatically different in the center. So our conclusions with the experiences with this 1D model approach is that it has some good features we really are deserving to look at and actually incorporate in a new approach. I think the soil strength function works well, but you need bulk density, so you need more information. I think it's too sensitive to soil water, but then I'm not the soil physicist to argue against that. Soil aeration effect is not too bad. Soil temperature effect, you need one, but I'm not sure whether the Allen-Jones temperature function is right or whether we have a soils temperature prediction model problem in the DSET. The profile distribution has some limitations, a little bit too simple, and we need to make species characteristics of tendency to grow deep. And what I would like to add to this would be responsiveness to soil nitrogen or nitrate, phosphate, soil organic matter, and we need to look a little at the senescence effect. Species may differ in that respect. We need this 1D for the current DSAT because the soils really shouldn't be crop specific. The genetics needs to be in the crop genetics characteristics. I'll show a couple of slides of nutrient uptake. I didn't get as far as I wanted with this. I appreciated Stanley Barber's approaches on approaching nutrient uptake, and that is you have root interception, mass flow, and then diffusion where you actually establish concentration gradients of those ions. For the more soluble anions like nitrate and sulfate, mass flow is viewed as sufficient from the standpoint of Barber, and even calcium magnesium, because there's apparently a lot there, has an impact. Cations like potassium, ammonium, you've got cation exchange that restricts mass flow, but we really need to come up with what you call people work with the herbicides, pesticides, that slows down the movement, but some of this will still pass the cation exchange sites. And for the less soluble ions like phosphate and zinc, you need to consider diffusion as a dominant important process, and root length density is really important there. This is a nice visual from Hendrix that shows this is distance from the root surface, okay, millimeters. So here's 1 millimeter away. You start off with initial phosphate concentration in solution, give it time, 3 days, and in this time the concentration solution was really low, right up till about 0.8 of a millimeter away from the root. This is the length of root hairs. Okay, so somebody asked about root hair importance. Away from this would be where diffusion is important, because you've got a concentration difference from here to here. So this would be Barber's diffusion importance. And the other aspect to this would be that you have exchangeable sites or buffering in the way that Barber used this, that once you drop the concentration, now you've got exchange reactions that provide things back to the soluble phosphate pool. Or other things such as proton ATPase creating acidification, solubilizing phosphorus, or even the phytases enzymes. Now, can we model mass flow, diffusion, and active uptake at root level? We haven't tried this. This is where I was trying to go and hadn't gotten this done, so I won't show you this, but we'll try this before the paper's finished. And that is that I would like to compare mass flow uptake of nitrate from the soil solution to the current status of a Michaelis-Menten looking function for nitrate uptake. I think that that's more realistic than a Michaelis-Menten function. The important thing really is plant demand for nitrogen, because you don't exceed that. You have to consider that as the limitation for that. Barbara talked a lot about kinetic parameters for ion uptake with an Imax and substrate concentration and Km, and according to his sensitivity analysis, it's not particularly important. Root length density is much more important, and even some exchange reactions from in soil chemistry are more important, and plant demand is important. So let me stop there. Okay.
Whether some of these down sides of root senescence and so forth, do you feel are positive enough, or you have enough confidence in that you can begin to predict the root decomposition contribution to soil carbon, at least during short-term periods?
Meaning months?
Yes.
Months? The Sentry model is now linked with the DSAT models, and it will handle the sloughed root. The senescing root you saw there would be contributing, or surface abscised plant tissue to above ground litter. The total amount, though, is pretty small compared to the above ground production of stock that you leave. But it has good applications, I think, for carbon sequestration.
Just to follow up, that's true for annuals. How about perennials?
We have a prototype Bahia grass and Bermuda grass, and they have a lot more below ground rhizomes, stolons, and we don't know enough about how fast those things turn over. We've discussed that problem. Yeah. Yes.
I wonder if the maximum rooting depth is the rooting tip or the effective depth to where there's an absent water absorption.
No, I think we want, she's asking about how we define this, and we would say it would be the maximum depth of any root tip, yes. And below that, you are allowed, at least in the old function, you define that depth, which keeps moving down, and then back from that, the shape function affects it. And even the new function will be like that, because you need to have root depth there before you start proliferating or having birth of new root tips, that sort of thing.
Yeah. The dependence function for aluminum and other calcium given by
Alan Jones. No, that stuff is all Alan Jones. All those equations are Alan Jones that you saw on equations on the figures. We just reproduced his figures. And I'm surprised that, is anybody using these, his equations? He was really a pretty sharp guy, went off into administration much sooner than we kind of lost a modeler.
He must have had some data.
Yes, yes.
Nance, you had a question?
Well, I was going to say I was using them.
Okay, good, good. That's good.
One last question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.